Chapter 6 Flashbulbs flared and television cameras aimed their hooded lenses at the delicate features of Danielle Sarva as she moved through a sea of reporters with the silent grace of a ship's figurehead. She paused in the doorway of the hospital lobby, not from timidity but for effect. Danielle Sarva did not simply enter a room, she inundated it like a monsoon. There was an inexpressible aura about her that made women stare in open admiration and envy. Men she overpowered. World leaders and elder statesmen often regressed to self-conscious schoolboys in her presence. To those who knew Danielle well, her cold poise and granite confidence were irritating. But to the great mass of people, she was their symbol, a showcase almost, who proved that Canada was not a nation of homespun lumberjacks. Whether hosting a social function or rushing to her injured husband's bedside, she dressed in a fashion that was showy elegance. She glided between the reporters, self-possessed and sensuous in a beige tip-tied crepe de chine with modest leg slit and a natural gray caracole jacket. Her raven hair swept downward in a cascade over the front of her right shoulder. 100 questions were shouted in chorus and a forest of microphones thrust at her, but she serenely ignored them. 4 gargantuan Mounties forged a path to the hospital elevator. On the 4th floor, the medical chief of staff stepped forward and introduced himself as Dr. Erickson. She looked at him, holding back the dreaded question. Erickson anticipated her apprehension and smiled his best professional smile of reassurance. "Your husband's condition is serious, but not critical. He suffered abrasions over 50% of his body, but there are no major complications. Skin grafts will take care of the heavy tissue loss on his hands. And, considering the degree and number of fractures, the surgery by a team of orthopedic specialists was very successful. It will be a matter of perhaps 4 months, however, before he can be up and about." She read the evasion in his eyes. "Can you promise me that in time Charles will be as good as new?" Cornered, Erickson was forced to concede. "I must confess the Prime Minister will have a slight but permanent limp. I suppose you call that a minor complication." The doctor met her eyes. "Yes, madam, I do. The Prime Minister is a most fortunate man. He has no complicated internal injuries. His mind and bodily functions are unimpaired, and the scars will eventually fade. At worst, he will require the use of a cane." He was surprised to see her mouth tighten in a grin. "Charles with a cane," she said in a cynical tone. "God, that's priceless." "Pardon, madam?" "The limp will be worth 20,000 votes," was the reply that ran through her head, but with chameleon ease she transformed her facial expression back to that of the concerned wife. "Can I see him?" Erickson nodded and led her to a door at the end of the corridor. "The anesthetic from the operation has not entirely worn off yet, so you may find his speech a bit vague. He will also be experiencing some pain, so please keep your visit as brief as possible. The floor staff has made up an adjoining room if you wish to stay nearby during his recovery." Danielle shook her head. "My husband's advisors think it best if I remain at the official residence where I can assist in carrying on the duties of office under his name." "I understand." He opened the door and stood aside. The bedside was surrounded by several doctors and nurses and a vigilant Mountie. They all turned and separated as she approached. The smells of antiseptic and the sight of Sarva's unbandaged, reddened, and raw arms made her feel nauseated. She hesitated a moment. Then he recognized her through half-opened eyes, and his lips curved into a slight smile. "Danielle," he said, his voice slightly slurred, "forgive me for not embracing you." For the first time she saw Sarva without the armor of his pride. She had never considered him vulnerable before, and could not relate the broken, immobile body lying on the bed to the vain man she had lived with for 10 years. The waxen face tempered with pain was not the face she knew. It was like looking at a stranger. Hesitantly she moved in and kissed him softly on both cheeks. Then she brushed the tumbled gray hair from his forehead, unsure of what to say. "Your birthday," he said, breaking her silence. "I missed your birthday." She looked confused. My birthday is still months away, dearest. I meant to buy you a gift. She turned to the doctor. He's not making any sense. Erickson shook his head. The lingering effects of the anesthetic. Thank God it was I who was hurt and not you, Sarva rambled feebly. My fault. No, no, nothing was your fault, Danielle said quietly. The road was icy. Snow covered the windshield. I couldn't see. Took the curve too fast and stepped on the brakes. A mistake. Lost control. Then she understood. Many years ago, he was in an auto accident, Danielle explained to Erickson. His mother was killed. Not unusual. A drugged mind often takes one back in time. Charles, she said, you must rest now. I'll be back in the morning. No, don't go. Sarva's eyes looked past her shoulder to Erickson. I must talk to Danielle alone. Erickson thought a moment and then shrugged. If you insist. He looked at Danielle. Please, madame, no more than 2 minutes. When the room was cleared, Sarva started to say something, but then his body tautened in a spasm of pain. Let me get the doctor, she said, frightened. Wait, he moaned through clenched teeth. I have instructions. Not now, my dearest. Later, when you are stronger. The James Bay Project. Yes, Charles, she said, humoring him. The James Bay Project. The control booth above the generator chamber. Increase the security. Tell Henri. Who? Henri Villon. He'll know what to do. I promise, Charles. There is great peril for Canada if the wrong people discover... Suddenly his face contorted and he pressed his head deep into the pillow and moaned. Danielle was not strong enough to watch his suffering. The room began to spin. She put her hands to her face and stepped back. Max Roubaix. His breath was coming in short gasps. Tell Henri to consult Max Roubaix. Danielle could stand no more. She turned and fled into the corridor. Dr. Erickson was sitting at his desk studying Sarva's charts when the head nurse entered the office. She set a cup of coffee and a plate of donuts beside him. 10 minutes till showtime, doctor. Erickson rubbed his eyes and glanced at his wristwatch. I suppose the reporters are getting restless. More like murderous, the nurse replied. They'd probably tear down the building if the kitchen didn't keep them fed. She paused to unzip a garment bag. Your wife dropped off a clean suit and shirt. She insisted you look your best when you face the TV cameras to announce the Prime Minister's condition. Any change? He's resting comfortably. Dr. Munson shot him with a narcotic right after Madame Sarva left. A beautiful woman, but no stomach. Erickson picked up a donut and idly stared at it. I must have been mad to allow the Prime Minister to talk me into administering a stimulant so soon after the operation. What do you suppose was in his mind? I don't know. Erickson stood up and removed his coat. But whatever the reason, his delirious act was most convincing.